The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Hold on to your hats because it's Marvelous, Magnificent, Mesmerizing, Motivational Monday as we put our hands to the plow of advancing the kingdom of God and never looking back. First up, remember the donkey in the movie called Shrek? I'm so alone. Well, here's something to remember. We are not alone. As long as the Lord tarries, we have shared experiences. Next, look here. Now look over there. Now over there. Now look this way. No, look over here. Don't miss this. And so it goes with every distraction. Where do we think those darts are coming from? That's a great question. And finally, the Holy Spirit writes to us about the new covenant laws, and he writes those laws in our hearts and our minds. But there's a huge key to unlocking the new covenant in our lives, and it's easier than you think.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk where I'm making Tiara run back and forth in the beginning of the show because I'm such a nice guy. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, there's a couple of ways to get in touch with us. Now, you can call us here at the show live while we're doing it. You're allowed to. That number, 972-445-0770. You can do that for a number of reasons. You can do it to share a praise report, have a prayer request. Let's make a comment about something, as long as you keep it cool. We're kind of copacetic here. We're all right. It's all right. You can also answer trivia. Anything like that is totally awesome. Community, Christian community, on the radio, through the telephones, through the air, through the internet, all that. That's what we're looking at. You can also text the show, by the way, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Leave a quarter when you're done. Anyway, besides that, I just want to say you can email, and then there's always that rent a blimp and have the blimp go over the radio station and then have your little sign on the blimp like they do in The Simpsons. It's always amazing how they got the running sign inside the blimp and it always changes to whatever they say. I need one of those. You got one of those?
No, but I wish.
Yeah. I mean, because then you can just go over. And then when you're having a problem, you can just send that blimp over somewhere and say, hey, buddy, stop talking on the phone and drive your car. You know, that kind of thing. I'm not saying that for driving, but that would be good, right? Okay. All right. So we can do any of those things we can talk about. Let me give a shout out to Mary. I talked to Mary today for a few minutes, trying to coordinate. She wanted to do a little bit of a donation. And so we came up with a couple of backdoor methods to try and make it work. You know, we're just working on it. And for everybody out there, if there's ever a chance that you want to email me or talk or have some kind of exchange, it's not. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's all we're doing. Okay. We're nobody's this person so mighty and great in the Lord. There is one superstar in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ, and nobody else gets the glory but him. We just get to share the aftermath eternal awesomeness stuff, which is totally okie dokie with me. Here we go. Simple early opening question. Gonna keep it simple. You can text in or you can call in. Any of those will work, as you know. But this is an easy one. I'm expecting a lot of people to get this right. Who witnessed the conversation between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus? Who witnessed that conversation. If you think you know that answer, you are welcome to reach out to us and let us know. Don't forget, our DNA. DNA is really important because it's what we're made of, no matter what you hear in the news or anywhere else in life. DNA, the D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
How often daily? None of you went to church yesterday. That's good. Or you watch church online. That's good. But it's a daily element. So draw closer to the Lord daily. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, never, never. And then A, always be ready.
To serve
in any capacity. Let me tell you, I was at church yesterday with Noelle, and they asked her to do the count on the offering after it to verify it with another person. And then you get to wait around, you talk to some of the people at church and so on and so forth. It's not like it's a huge deal. She does it like once every 6 weeks or something. But even in that simplistic process, that's serving and being a blessing to the church. And you think, oh, okay. Anytime, anywhere, we should be ready to do that. DNA, draw closer to the Lord daily, never be ashamed of Jesus' words, and always be ready to serve. One more time on the trivia question, and then we're going to go into the teaching, which I can't wait to do. I am completely done with school for the next 4 weeks. I am done. I'm done. High school, Dave. Done. For the next 4 weeks, no PhD, doctorate ministry, you know, drill bits in my head. I am done. Of course, at the very end, my tech access started to die, but that's okay because at least I got my last paper in, so I'm done. All right, do we have somebody calling in on the question? All right, so we're going to get that ready, and then we're going to answer. The person's going to answer that question. Then we're going to go into something called shared experience. All right, okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary. Long time no talk to.
Yeah. Well, this is at the three people were Peter, James, and John.
That is correct, Mary. You are right. Peter, James, and John. If you remember, Peter and Andrew were brothers. James and John were brothers. It always seems like Andrew got the short side here. He never seemed to be in the threesome. But I always found this text amazing for multiple reasons on why they saw Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets. But I always thought it was amazing. And this is something that Dr. Jeffress taught on as well as some of the other, like, Jack Hayfield and some of the other people that taught on this. How did they know it was Moses and Elijah? They had no pictures. They had no real renditions. Drawings of people were very, very thought of very slow. But they instantly knew, which tells you you're going to know people when you get there.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
you nailed
answer.
It, Mary. That's Holy right. Spirit the Holy Spirit them. Let them understand. Excellent job, my lady. Thank you so
okay.
much. God bless you.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Excellent. See? And it was a Jack Hayford. That's what I was thinking about. This is a Jack Man, so it was Jack Hayford. You know, my brain. It's
everywhere today.
It's coming down.
Is it slowly coming down?
Slowly. Slowly. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, as we get into this called shared experience. I, John, your brother and partner. Oh, wait. Your brother and your partner. Before we ever go anywhere, this is John. John was with Peter, James, and John. We just talked about them. He was one of the early disciples. He was with a disciple of Jesus, 30 AD. He's now writing this. This is 95 AD, 65 years later. 62 years being an apostle. That's a long time to be an apostle. And here's what he says. I, John, your brother and your partner. Notice he doesn't say, I, John, far superior to everybody else because I am the longest living apostle ever. He doesn't say, I, John, know who knows much more than any of you, hung out with Jesus, and I was so close to Jesus, I got to lean against him. Ha ha. He doesn't say that. He goes, your brother and your partner. That's how he says it. What a great, humble illustration right off the bat. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation, kingdom, and perseverance in Jesus was on the island called Patmos because of God's word and the testimony about Jesus. He names three things. He talks about tribulation, he talks about the kingdom, and he talks about persevering, hanging out, pushing through. So he's a brother and a partner. The part I want to key in on is in tribulation. Many people think, and I'm not sure why, that some of the people in the early church, they had it easy. And da, da, da. It's like, okay, this guy was exiled to an island, and it wasn't like going to, you know, Cancun. It wasn't like going to, you know, Fiji and going on an island. And this is like an island where there's nada. It's where they cast people. They had cast either lepers or people that were just dramatic criminals and just leave them there to die. And he's like, hey, I'm with you right there. I'm a part of this. I get it. I know what you're going on. I know what you're going through. And I think what John does as he's closing out Revelation is he expresses a community amongst believers for suffering and for struggle and for tough times. And in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14, it says, dear friends, when the fiery ordeal arises among you to test you, don't be surprised by it as if something unusual were happening to you. And what we do is we go through our trials, and they're ours, right? They have our fingerprints. They have our voice prints, eye prints, whatever the case may be. And they feel like, and I'm going to use that word, I'm going to stress that, and feel like they're like, only I am going through this. It's the worst thing ever. And doesn't God know what's going on here? It's just like, yeah, you're not the only one going through this. In fact, verse 13 says, instead, as you share in the suffering of the Messiah, rejoice that you may also rejoice with the great joy at his revelation and his glory. In other words, it's not something unusual that you're going through. It's part of a warfare that you and I could probably never not fully see right now, or perhaps could not handle if we did see all of the elements. But here's the bottom line. That tribulation, that trial, that struggle, that frustration is shared by other believers, and you are all petitioning the Lord, and the Lord is with you as he brings you through it and turns it into gold. And you think, well, nobody's gone through what I've gone through. I'm sorry, I didn't see you on the cross being crucified for innocent living. I'll have to double check and see where that is. Oh, okay. I think we'll just move on then, won't we? All right, here we go. We're going to take our first break. Way to start on Monday. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what politics say, regardless of what different people say, Jesus does one thing better than anybody else. He brings hope. It's like, wait, this could be different. And in verse 29, she touches Jesus and immediately her bleeding stops, right? The Bible says, look at it, immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt it in her body. She was freed from her suffering. You know, people will say, well, I mean, how do you know if you're healed? I got a message for you. When you touch the Lord and power comes from the Lord into your life, you know. She knew. Not only did she know, Jesus knew. And Jesus was like, okay, who touched me? Who touched me? Power went out for me. Right? And then the disciples are, okay. There's like 1,000 people right next to you. How are we supposed to? Now, why did Jesus do all that? Watch this. This is just one of those absolute mind blowers. The first thing that happens to her is her issue of blood ceases to exist because she touches Jesus. We would call that a physical healing. She was physically healed. She had an issue of blood, and that's a problem, and she couldn't do anything to help it. But when she was able to touch Jesus, bam, the physical healing happened. But then Jesus does this such weird thing because he's so cool that it just fits the whole thing. He says, "Who touched me?" And they're all like going, "Okay, well, you know, take a look around, dude. There's a lot of people here." And he's like, "Who touched me?" And then the woman said, "It was me." Right? Jesus not only physically healed her, watch this, he socially healed her. Because a woman who had an issue of blood was not allowed to have the same level of public contact as everybody else. So he heals her physically and then calls her up in front of everybody and goes, "Yeah, you're well now, huh?" It's just think about the moment. And instead of saying anything negative, right? Because God's not like that. He's like, "Oh, your faith has healed you. Okay, your faith and confidence in you touching me made the difference. You're physically healed. And let everybody who's around you know you are no longer to be untouched because you touched me. Now you're socially healed." Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I will let you know we're going to try something different on the fourth segment today. And keep in mind, we're moving to six segments. So over this next month, I'm going to be doing some weird stuff. And you can either listen and smile, listen and cry, stop listening, or listen and go, any of those will work. But first, we need to make sure we give some special recognition to Coach and to Texas Air King for supporting us and supporting the trivia and doing all the stuff that they do. So let's play the clip from Texas Air King.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC Coach today. Call or visit him online at TexasAirKing.com.
There you go, TexasAirKing.com. You go there, you get in touch with Coach. If you need a new system, he works it out with you so that it doesn't, I mean, it's just no, there's no credit charge. It's just like if you have to buy a new system, and they're not cheap, right? He works it out so you can just pay it on a regular monthly basis, super low minimum, until you can pay it all off. I mean, that's just nice. I mean, that's a good way to do it. And I don't know exactly how that whole part works, but he said, "I take care of the people." It's like, okie dokie. That's what you want to know. You want to know they're getting taken care of. Here's the trivia question. Going to be a multiple choice. Multiple choice. Boy, you're rolling. Who said this? Who wrote this, I should say, but who wrote this? "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." Who said this between these four prophets? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Joel? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Joel? Which of the four made that statement? "He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." In the meantime, don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so now I'm going to be really nice about this and say this in a really super-duper nice way. I'm even going to laugh when I say it. We need help financially. Don't forget to give. We could use the money. Go to the website, see if you can give. Did you like that? That was like, you know, this is a good way to deliver news, right?
That's a good way.
You just got to laugh and tell it. That really comes from Robin Hood Men in Tights when the guy said, "No matter what you do, don't give me bad news. It better be cheery." And then he responded, "Robin Hood has taken over all of your stuff." That's pretty funny. All right. Somebody is calling in on that, and we're going to do our best and going to be quick on this because I got a lot of material to cover, so I'm telling you right now. You got people that are texting in as well? Okay. All right, she's going for two for two. Huh? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David.
Hi, Mary.
I know this answer.
Okay, fire away, Mary. Fire away.
It was Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 53.
That is correct, ma'am. You enjoy her on fire. Good job. Eric was one profit off. One profit off. Good
okay.
job. Good job, Mary. I appreciate it very much.
Thank
God bless you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
She told me today, I'll just tell you right now, she likes Alistair Begg, and so I had him on the show in San Diego, and so there's two people that my wife like more than me in teaching, and that's Ray Bentley and Alistair Begg. So I said, welcome to the show, I don't like you. Oh, he's a great guy. I mean, he has a great sense of humor. All right. Isaiah 53, folks. Isaiah 53, I think it's 53:7, if I remember. That should be pretty close. Okay, let me get into this second segment. So let's get ready here. Psalm 55, verses 2 through 3. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me. This DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, is more practical than most of them that I talked to you about because this has to do with what happens when you go into prayer. Now, I'm a devotions junkie, separated time for God junkie, okay? I am. 22 years, 10 months, and 14 days. I've not missed a single day spending an hour with God in prayer and Bible. Why is that important? Well, it's important because I want to separate myself from the Lord. Does that mean that I didn't spend time before? No, I just now have gotten in the last half of my Christianity to not allow anything take a greater priority than spending that time with God. The number one thing I encounter still is distraction. It's the number one fight. Period. I'm not talking about distraction like the phone ringing. I don't bring my phone in when I pray. Okay. I'm not talking about distractions like somebody ringing the doorbell. That happens that doesn't happen all the time. But you get into prayer and you never notice when you're praying, if you pray for more than 2 minutes, how easy your mind wanders. It's just like, and you're sitting here praying, and here's what happens, okay? Here's what happens. So you're sitting there, and you pray, and you have a thought or an idea while you're praying, like, oh, you know, Lord, for a perfect example, I'll just tell you something that happened today. So I'm praying, Lord, help me in regards to being supportive for the church and so on and so forth. In that one moment, the next thought that came down the pike is, boy, have I given everything I was supposed to give? Then I thought, boy, I better check and see what my giving record is. Boy, I better. And then it's just like you go off to the races. And you would think, well, that sounds very spiritual. No, it's not. It's completely distracting. And that's what the enemy does. He tries to make us. Let me say it that way. He doesn't make us. He tries to make us restless and distracted when we're in that time of prayer. And you can't, it happens to everybody. And it's not that it always works, but the enemy tries. He can't stop you from praying except for stopping you from spending time to pray. That's how he does. He can't stop your prayer or nobody would ever be saved. Everybody who prays the prayer of salvation would never get saved. I've actually had somebody say, well, that's the only prayer he can't stop. I mean, it's like, you stop already? He does it by getting us not to pray and distracting us and having other things come through. And part of my prayer on a regular basis for years and years is now, don't let me be distracted. Don't let the enemy distract me. Don't let the voice of the world or the pressure of the world distract me while I'm praying. Help me to focus on you. This is practical. I'm talking about the practicality of spending time with the Lord. Don't go in there, and I don't really have a problem with people that do a traditional style of prayer or use a very succinct manner. I don't have any – I think that's fine as long as you keep it lively. I mean, that's fine. But what happens is we get into prayer and we get into certain kind of modes of prayer, and then we – bing, we pop out of it, and our brain goes wandering down the street to see what's going on in the weather, or, whoa, there's a lawnmower. I probably should cut my yard this week, you know, whatever the case may be. That's the practical side, and that's the enemy. And they're trying to bring trouble and interruption in your time of prayer and communion. I'm telling you, I mean, I could tell you, there's not one person I couldn't sit in the room and have this conversation and know it's that we're on track together, whether it's Dr. David Jeremiah or John MacArthur, or whether it's Jack Hayford, or whether it's James Robeson, would not matter one whit. Every one of them would say the same thing, that the enemy gets in there and tries to distract during time of prayer. And we need to be aware. That's part of spiritual warfare. You want to know what spiritual warfare is? Getting you to not concentrate on the Lord while you're praying is a heck of an element on spiritual warfare. And so he's like, give heed to my answer. I'm restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted. Okay, I'm not getting the answer, and I'm not focusing here, Lord, and I need some help. And that's just being honest, because of the voice of the enemy, and because of the voice of the enemy, and because of the pressure of the wicked. And so I tend to think this more so than most people understand. But I think that the pressure of the world and the news and some of the stuff that comes out, not just the media, but just all the presentations, all of the communications, are so down against the Lord. It's like, it's very rarely does anybody get on the television and go, "You are loved." What they go is, "You're a wreck, and we don't even have an answer for you, and you're going to get worse." And you're just like going, "Well, this is just gravy. This is wonderful." You see what I'm saying? So you got to fight that. You got to go, no, I'm not taking that into the throne room. And again, this explains why Jesus said, go into your closet and pray. What's the one thing you can tell about the closet? Usually, 99.9% of the time, there's not a computer in there. There's not a phone in there. There's not, usually the only thing in there is clothes and shoes. Okay, so it's in there. Well, I think that's the hint. There it is. Because we need to have everything else cut out. And then if you go into your closet, you close the door, you know, you're all alone. It's scary. That's the best place in the world you can be. That's where you're the only place where you can find complete peace if you call upon the Lord. Because every distraction has just been cut out. Even when you go into church, sometimes the drapings are so elegant and so absorbing to the eye. And that's great. But that's not what the intent is. The intent is for us to just have this communion with the Lord. Isn't that, that's just like important. Yeah, I forgot the word, didn't I? All right. Poor T. So much you got to put up with. All right, we can take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries.
Play that again.
Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're going to change up the order a little bit. I didn't even tell T this, so she's just looking at me going, what are we doing, Dave? What are we doing, Dave? We're going to actually start off by doing history and then the word of the day, because I want to make sure to get the Hebrew word of the day because I owe Paige like 3 weeks worth. So let's start off with doing history, because I have a history thing I want to cover real quickly. So
let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, for those that don't know, today is Roast Chestnuts Day. You know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. So I used to love that. And one time I was in New York and they were selling the roasted chestnuts on the street and they were steamed and roasted. They were so good. It's like the best place I've ever had them. Like,
I've never had them before, actually.
It's great. Now, here's the problem. The problem is everything else in New York, not so great. But the roasted chestnuts were fantastic. I'm just going to tell you that right now. National Bouillabaisse Day, which is a soup steamed and then brought to a broil soup that has a lot of fish in it. And Noelle is not a big fish eater. Okay, she only likes one fish. Can you guess what kind of one fish it is before you answer? It's not inexpensive fish.
Salmon?
Even more expensive.
Catfish?
Lobster.
Oh.
She only likes lobster.
You told me that, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, right. She just said she only likes lobster. Like, I only like lobster. Like, okay. What about tuna fish? I only like lobster. Okay. You know, we don't have a ton of seafood going on here. For those that want to know, on this day, 1719, the second newspaper in America, the Boston Gazette, was published by William Booker. It only lasted, ironically for them, about 80 years, about 79 years, and then they closed the store, which is kind of unusual because normally newspapers last longer. 1959, Berry Gordy founded Motown. That's where I'm from. This is my era back there. And he did that in Detroit, Michigan. It's a goofy little studio area that did quite a bit of good work music-wise. I thought this was probably one of the most fascinating things, but on this day in 1972, the last man on the moon, Eugene Cernan, re-entered the lunar module after making the last moonwalk. And now we're going to be going back and talking about that. And so, but it's like, it's been such a long time. Like, wow. Long time since we did that. Okay. Next thing I want to do, because I really owe this to Paige, and I feel bad that I haven't done it, and that is the Hebrew word of the day. So I do want to give it to her.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava,
All right, Hebrew word of the day, and then we're going to be doing it. You know, we have a lot of good suggestions. Mary gave some good suggestions, and Eric gave some good suggestions. We're going to be doing Greek words and so on and so forth. We're going to, you know, just kind of mix it up, but this is for Hebrew right now. This word is karat. Okay, can you say that? Karat.
Karat.
Okay, karat means to cut off, to cut down. It actually has to do with making a covenant, and you might want to think of it as carrot or carrot, like a carrot. You know, carrot, you know, and so maybe you're saying carrot with a big slang, kind of like, I was going to get some peas and carrot. See there. See how you do that? And that would mean cutting in association with making a covenant, primarily when they cut the animals apart or cut the animals in half. For those that know the story of Abraham, that's where that comes from. Carrot. So I was going to get some peas and carrot.
That sounds like a motion.
Like a karate like chop?
Yeah.
Like karate chop. Karat! Hiya! Karat! Okay, that's another way to do that, too. People are going to send me email. That's a lot of ethnic slurs. Oh, stop it. You know, go to the bank, take out a loan, and buy a clue. Okay? How about that? That's a classic, right? You like that?
That's a good one.
That's a good one. People can use that. All right, let me get into this tea. I got a lot to cover. People are like, oh, but Dave, you got to do trivia. I will. Everybody relax. Deep breath. Thank you very much. Jeremiah chapter 31. Wait, we didn't do the website, did we? That's what I forgot. Website. Don't forget the website because we need the money. Go ahead. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And besides the website, we do have Facebook up and we do have YouTube up. And I did take a recording from Friday's show and put it on Facebook. So you can actually watch me live. I don't pick too much stuff out of my ear, so that's pretty good. As an image, all of you are just going to try and erase out of your minds. Jeremiah 31, 33, 34. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. One of the great passages, Jeremiah chapter 31, especially verses 31 through 34, but I just went for 33, 34. The most powerful statement, one of the things that a lot of people miss the grasp of, is that we have a new covenant that's prophesied by Jeremiah. It's not that all covenants have ceased, since the covenant with Noah still continues. So for those that are thinking there's only two covenants, you got to expand that a little bit because we still have the rainbow. But the bottom line is that God says, I'm going to write my laws within them and on their hearts. How does the Lord write the law of God within you or on your heart? Mary actually alluded to this earlier. It's through the Holy Spirit. And the whole premise of the new covenant is the Holy Spirit being inside of us, whom we received by faith, who lives in our hearts. And God uses His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to write within us and correct within us and put into our minds and our hearts, not just our conscience, but write within our hearts the laws of God that we might respond to them. That's all part of the new covenant. The Spirit could not have come until Jesus was glorified, which is why Jesus talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are like, well, there's all these gifts and all these things, but the primary gift, singular, of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit Himself. That's what people miss. They're like, well, I don't have the power to walk. That means you're not walking in the Spirit. That's what it means. Okay? All right. Now, having said all that, look at what God says. He says, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Before God can pour His Spirit out in mass, there has to be forgiveness. Why? Because God is a righteous and holy God, and to have the standard of being with Him means that for Him to fellowship with us is we need to be able to come into His presence, and He cannot stand or tolerate pollution, and we're full of pollution, and so we come before the Lord as we are, and it's like, yuck. So through Jesus Christ, God bathes us in this wonderful, white, clean, free of spot clothing through Jesus Christ, and we stand before him, how? Forgiven. And all the stuff that you got going on, and all the stuff that you have done, and in fact, it's really funny because if you think about this, it just dawned on me. Do you know one of the colors that just stands out more than anything else against a white background is red? I mean, if you see something red, it's like, whoa, right? And God says, even though your sins are like red, like scarlet, they're like bright red, I will wash you like snow. And so this is what gives us this access, this forgiveness process. Now, do you deserve or earn your forgiveness? Okay, first of all, that's a contradiction in terms. You can't earn forgiveness, or it's not forgiveness. You can't, well, you've got to do something to deserve it. Well, then it's not forgiveness. In other words, it's a pay. It's a pay and it's a repay, okay? Forgiveness or gifting is not deserved, and you cannot earn your way into the kingdom and impress God. He's got to pour that forgiveness out upon you. Here's why it's so fantastic. Because through Jesus Christ, there's forgiveness. And that's the key. That's why you come in the name of Jesus. That's why you surrender your life in the name of Jesus. That's why you submit before the Lord. That's why you petition in the name of Jesus. Because in him, there's forgiveness. It's like, okay. So it's like the Lord going, here is the best cheeseburger ever, and I'm going to give it to you. Now, you can just take it and eat it, or you can eat that dirt sandwich that you got in your pocket. Which would you choose? It's just like, there's no question here. Right? My point in telling you that is for us to understand that it's that forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ that gives us that access into the new covenant. And what the Lord says is, clearly, he said, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. God doesn't remember your sin. If he did, you'd be in trouble. You wouldn't even be in the new covenant. But through Jesus Christ, all of that has been put to rest. It's ironic. I just thought of this, that the blood of Jesus is red, and that's what's got to cover our red sin. Wow, I didn't even think about that. No, my brain doesn't move that fast. But all of that to make it where the one red wipes out the other red, so now there's no red. There's just righteous left. Isn't that cool? Okay, must be me. I made my own little planet. That's because I'm done with school. Okay. All right, we come back. We're going to hit up on trivia, so you don't want to miss that. Plus, we're going to try something new with a new sound. You may like it. You may not. It's not new. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible Trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at TexasAirKing.com.
Who is David Spoon?
We have on the line Tina from Elkhorn. Tina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
Is this the first time you've heard the show?
No, I listen to you every time I get into my car when I leave my job.
Ah, awesome. Thank you very much. Is there anything that we can be praying for just to be in agreement with you regarding anything that the Lord's working on in you?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, fire away.
First of all, I'd like to see my family's hearts turned. Second of all, I am not putting God first and I'm not being obedient in certain ways. Let me sum it up a little bit. I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
I should answer it. So I really need prayer to get back on track with God.
Okay. Let me pray with you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we lift up Tina to you, and we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that first and foremost you would work on her family's hearts, that there'd be a softening and that there'd be a grace and a mercy given to the family and between the relationship that Tina has with the family, and we just pray that your mercy would prevail, and we just pray that you would encourage her. Instead of this being a discouragement, let this become an encouragement that she is a daughter of the Most High, seeking out help from her Heavenly Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Amazing grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget about livinginhisgrip.com, which is September and Glenn. Thank you for their music, and Billy as well for his music that he provides for us. We appreciate that. We're going to be doing a little bit more music as the time goes on, just in case you didn't know that. We might play a song or two. I mean, I just really think that would be kind of fun. Every once in a while, I'll just play a song that nobody's ever heard. And then we're looking at not just interviews, but looking at interview Christian comedians and new worship bands and new Christian bands and different people in the Christian community and Texas Christian people and other Jewish Christians. Although if I interview another Jewish Christian, that one interview could easily be 90 minutes because of how much we talk. And so I don't know if I should do that. So I have to think about that. What do you think of that? That's kind of dangerous, huh?
It's actually, it's dangerous, but it's a good idea.
Yeah, because it's different, because people don't think of it in those terms. So some people who are born and raised Jewish and become Christian are very committed to their upbringings. Other people are much more distant from them. It's a fascinating journey. Each one's taken such a unique way to go about it. When I decided to become a Christian, my family was like, not happy. Not happy. Let me say that. No, not very happy. Okay, that's a nice way to say that. Here's our trivia question, and then we're going to try something new because we want to. Our trivia question, in the parable of the 10 virgins, okay, 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Okay, we know that, okay? Why were the foolish ones foolish? Why were they foolish? In other words, what was their whoops, you know, like what is it that made them foolish? And I didn't even finish that question. We had somebody calling in already. And that's always good. And then we're going to, like I said, try something new with a new sound. And you know, this is what you do on radio, live radio. You try it. If I like it, I'll keep it. If I don't, I won't. All right. We ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Good afternoon. This is Al.
Hi, Al. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well.
Okay. Hey, I know you're my big intercessory prayer guy. I need wisdom for the new show that we're putting together. I'm going to tell you that right now. So you got to put that on your list, okay?
Gotcha.
All right. I just want to make sure. All right. So we got 10 virgins. 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. Okay. So 5 were there. 5 were not. What was the difference? Why were the foolish ones foolish?
They were not prepared with enough oil.
That is correct, sir. And the way you said that was actually brilliant, because what they had not done was they had not had any forethought, and they did not think I should have preparation. Even David, when he went to fight Goliath, had more than one stone. And so it's like you just think about that's a lot of wisdom to be prepped just to be ready. And in their case, they really needed it. And good for the five wise going, I'm not giving you this. See, most people would say, well, they were. It's a Christian parable. They should have shared. And it was Jesus who was telling the parable going, no, they shouldn't have. Isn't that great? That's just fantastic. How are you, my friend? How are things going?
I'm doing well.
How's the wife? How's everything?
Everything's well, and just a busy day today, so I didn't catch your full show. Just got back in the truck and started listening to it, and so
I love it. I love it, and I appreciate you checking this out and hanging in there with us and praying for us. And it's a wonderful thing.
I love your show.
Brother.
Love your show. So much wisdom and insight from you.
Well,
it's really great.
I wish I could say it was mine. It's not. Everything brilliant.
Is it Keith?
I get a little download from the Lord, and then I just share it. That's the best.
And I love your Facebook page, too. I jumped on that the other day.
Great. Awesome, my friend. Yeah. Very good. Well, I appreciate it. Listen up. Right. We got a new segment we're trying right now, so let me know what you think of it.
I will.
Okay.
All right. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we got about 5 or 6 minutes, so I'm telling everyone, I'm warning everybody. It's like kind of a warning. It's like a bell, ding, 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 warning, 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 try something new. We always want to try different things. So here's something that I did that I haven't done before, and I'm going to getting ready to play this, and we don't know how the sound's going to go. But I decided, so I'm reading in 9 different translations. I don't know what the Lord is trying to do, but they're all different books. So I'll read. And when I read, I either read straight through or I read super slow, right? Like super slow, like word at a time, processing the word. And then I'm trying to find also that balance. So I try to do all three, keep it fresh, keep it different. And so today I ended up where? In King James, the King James Version, which is abnormal for me in the sense that I've read that multiple times many years ago, but haven't read that in a while. And I'm just having so much fun doing it. Plus, I'm reading in Luke. And I just think that's because of Christmas. I'm sure that had something to do with it. But listen to this sound, and then I'm going to do this thing I'm calling engage.
You must think I'm quite the madman.
The thought had crossed my mind.
Okay, play it again.
You must think I'm quite the madman.
The thought had crossed my mind.
You must think I'm quite, like, nuts. Quite insane. That thought had crossed my mind. All right, here we go. Luke. These sounds have nothing to do with anything, folks. You know that, right? I just like playing weird sounds. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Listen to this. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. This is the opening line of Luke, chapter 1, verse 1, King James Version. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us. First thing that people should catch is that many people have done this. Many people have tried to do this. As much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order. Now, it's important to understand set forth in order. That is different than the word in order that's going to come in a couple of verses. This is to set forth, watch this, like a sunrise, like shedding light, like stroking the memory. It actually, in the secular realm, has to do with an elephant being on stage so people would remember the scene. Here he's saying that same word that's used in the Greek, he's taken it to set forth, to set the memory going, to keep everything in thought and keep your memory fresh. He's setting it in order so that you can remember it, a declaration, a proclamation of these things which are most surely believed among us. In other words, this is our faith. These are the things that are believed among us. This isn't theology 101. This isn't all that stuff. He's saying, look, a lot of people have sat down to write out and capture all the stuff that's been going on all this stuff we believe. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm a doctor. I feel pretty good. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to write this out. And listen to this. This is so cool. It's just like, oh my goodness. Even as they delivered them unto us, referring to the people that were in the earliest phases, which were from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Here is a fascinating statement that he makes that Luke is talking about. He says, look, in the beginning, these people were eyewitnesses. They watched Jesus. Luke doesn't say, I'm going to write a historical account. I'm going to write a history book, and everybody should follow the history. He doesn't say that. He said, I'm going to write this memory graph for all of us to follow from these people who saw what Jesus did. And they were all ministers of the word. And let me tell you something right now in case you fail to know this. You are a minister of the word. You weren't that direct first century eyewitness, but you're the result of that. You're exactly who Luke is writing to. You're it. You're the person he's writing to you, especially when we get into the word Theophilus, which is the person he addresses, which is one who loves God or one who is loved by God. You'll find out it's really you. But you are a minister of the word. And we have set in front of us this gospel, this declaration, this memory, these memory cells of which happened among us and what we absolutely believe, most surely believed among us. And they were delivered to us and given to us by the eyewitnesses, the people that saw them, and ministers of the word. And we now too are ministers of that same word. All the things that you come up with and all those titles and all that stuff, real cool. Here's the bottom line. In the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke, you get to find out that Luke's setting in order the whole process that happened, and he's acknowledging that these people were witnesses and they gave it to us, and they were ministers of the word, and now we too are ministers of the word as Luke is putting this whole story together for us. That's what I call engaging with the word. I love it, right? Oh, it's nothing. I got so much of this, you'll just cry. All right, we're gonna break. I love you guys. We're going to talk tomorrow. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.